Right now, it's time for Talking Books with Susan Brown, and we are joined here in the studio by Susan Brown, who heads up the Chapel Hill Public Library. How are you?
I am very well, Aaron Keck. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Excellent.
How was your Labor Day weekend?
Not long enough. I mean,
yeah,
it was a
right?
long weekend, or so they say.
Yeah. It's a long weekend,
it
but
Friday,
it's over
and then all
about,
the,
yeah, pretty
all of a sudden
much,
it was
right?
Tuesday.
Yep, yep.
And then the Tuesday feels like a Monday, so it's all done and fine
and then your
and over.
Week is completely thrown off for the entire four
oh,
days,
yeah.
right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so what's going on at the library? I hear we have a special guest here in the studio along
we
with us.
We do have a special guest here in the studio.
Okay.
Shall I say her name?
Yes,
Shall
go
you
for
say
it.
Her name?
No, go for it.
So I brought this special guest with me a couple of months ago at about this time, I think, we always bring this very special guest and dear friend, see what I did there, when it's time for the big book sale. So with me is Karen Curtin, the president of the Friends of the Chapel Hill Public Library.
Welcome,
who,
Karen.
Yes.
Thank you, Aaron.
Who three times a year put on, it's not really, I mean, we call it a big book sale. It's like a gigantic, humongous, insanely huge book sale. So that's my special guest.
Awesome.
Here to talk about the book sale and other things.
Thank
the
you
book
for
sale
that segue.
Is coming on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday,
it
right?
It starts on Friday. Friday is members only, but you can join at the door and become a friend and attend then. And it will be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We have 20,000 plus books, which is huge. And a couple of things are new this year for people who have been coming for a while. We will have extended Friday hours, so people can come after work, which we've not done in the past.
Nice.
The library will stay open for that until 7:30. And we will be reducing pricing this year on CDs, DVDs, and vinyl records. So they will only be $2 on day one and $1 over the weekend. So
I'm wondering if you could redo that second bit and do it like a used car salesperson. You won't believe how low our prices are.
Go
no,
for it. You're doing great. Great prices, actually.
Come in and fill a bag on Sunday. Sunday.
There you go. The Chapel Hill Public Library.
Come on, I was a banker. I didn't do that stuff.
But 20,000 books. Okay, so you've looked at all of them, right? So
Yeah, everyone.
What are some of the highlights for,
well,
for you?
Well, they're
for this
they're
sale?
Fabulous. We have every category. This year we have a particularly large selection of classics and literature, which
nice.
It's very unusual for us. But we have everything, and we have a bookstore, you know, in the library too, with our best quality, you know, newest releases, store quality books, and they also go on same kind of pricing during the sale. So it's a really good deal to go through the bookstore as well. So for anyone who hasn't visited the bookstore on the lower level, they should do that. But it's a fun event. So if you've never tried it, you should. And we're going to be raffling wonderful book lover baskets out front for
very
all
cool.
3 days.
I saw those book the baskets.
Them?
They're already there. Yep, right by
yep.
the Bookie Monster. They look really cool.
They're
so what
cool.
are in some of those baskets?
Well, there are two for kids. We had one for kids last year, and it was so or last April, and it was so popular that we decided we had to do two. So one's for K through 3, one's for 4 through 6, and they've got wonderful things. We have a gourmet basket which has wine and food, and there are books throughout all of these that are very interesting books. And let's see, what do we have? A Southern basket.
It's a Southern basket,
with
yep.
Southern authors and cool Southern treats and a wonderful gift certificate from Crook's Corner. And we also have a little mystery tower, which is, I believe, 13 signed mysteries, all different authors,
ooh.
And a teapot and tea for a cozy mystery.
Do you get to see what the mysteries
absolutely.
Are, or is that also?
Oh, we could have made that a mystery.
Okay.
Next time.
Next time.
Well,
all right.
Actually, we do this once a year, so we'll take all suggestions for the next round.
Very cool.
And so the raffle project is something that I love about the Friends group, because they're always trying new things. So for years, we've had very strong and profitable book sales, but Karen and the crew are always kind of thinking, what else could we do? What could we try? So they tried the raffle last year. Was it last year?
I was thinking it was just this year, but
yeah.
it was a long time ago.
So they tried this thing and said, maybe we'll just take a flyer on this, and it was a big hit. So now they're talking about how can we do this every year, make it interesting, add value, and it you know, raises a few dollars. It, you know, raises the profile of the Friends. People get interested. It drives people to the bookstore. So it's a really interesting thing to try out. And people really love it. I think my favorite story about the raffle so far is when it went up in the window in the lobby, lots of folks see it, and then they go down to the bookstore to buy the tickets. And somebody went down, and I believe they handed them, like, $30 and said, give me 10 tickets for the Cozy Mystery Tower. And they said, wow, you must really love cozy mysteries. And the person said, no, but my china pattern is that, or that teapot is my china pattern, and I really want that teapot.
Oh, that's
awesome. That's pretty great.
Nice.
So the baskets have been on display in the lobby, and then you go down to the store to buy them. But starting on Friday, the Friends will be out front in a tent in this sweltering heat.
Mm. Yes.
With all the baskets on display. So through the weekend, people that come to the sale can also take a chance, buy a ticket, maybe win an awesome basket, and support a great cause.
And a reminder, 3 to 7:30 on Friday. That's for members only, but you can join at the door. So come if you're not a member.
And
just
join.
Sign up. Yep.
And actually, if you are a member, you get a free raffle ticket on Friday.
Oh, very nice. Also,
and if you join that day, you get a free raffle ticket.
Done. All right. So that's going on Friday, 10 to 4 on Saturday, and then the bag sale portion of it from 11 to 3 on Sunday. 20,000 books available upstairs and down at the bookstore. So really the whole library is taken over. Susan, I know we've talked about this before, but what do the Friends do for the library? What is their role?
Yeah, so the Friends do so many things for us. What we talk about a lot is the town, through the annual budget and the tax base and all of that, give us the services, the personnel, the building, all of that. And groups like the Friends give us that measure of excellence on top. So how we talk about it is the town provides the cookie and the Friends raise the money for the icing and the sprinkles. So we can do a good summer reading program with the support of the Friends. We have a great summer reading program. So the Friends in the last year or two have done things like provide ongoing support for the circulator, which was launched with the federal grant. They provided matching funds and ongoing support. Same thing with the Explore More project. They did the fabulous renovations in the lobby. So they gave us $40,000, and the result is the lobby furniture and furnishings and plants and rugs and all of that. They also funded the Welcome Hub, which is our new fabulous service point that was custom built. Pretty much, I can't think of a time that we went to them and said, hey, Friends, we need this thing. And they didn't say, of course, here you go. So it's a pretty great group. And so they do provide ongoing support for our summer programming. But also, the crowd favorite Banned Books Trading Cards, they support that project, from the printing of the cards to any prize money to the party we throw. And I will say that last night we had the jury for the Banned Books Trading Cards.
Awesome.
So once again, this year we had about 50 or 60 entries. And we had the difficult work last night of choosing 7 to be printed as trading cards.
Oh, how long does the jurying take for that?
So we had fewer entries than we have had in the past couple of years.
Okay.
So we were done in under an hour. But
that's
when
not
we
bad.
Have, like last year or the year before, we had over 100, and that took a while. But last night it was about an hour. There were some early favorites. So all the jurors have dots, and you put your dots on your thing,
okay.
And then you all kind of jockey and advocate for your piece, but they're great, great art. So the Friends will support the party that we throw, the exhibit launch on the 20-something. Sorry, it just left my mind. It's the last Friday
in
September.
I just looked this up, too. I want to say it's the 23rd, something like that.
If it's a Friday, it's the 21st.
21st.
Or 28th. Last Friday? Or
no, it's the 21st.
21st, okay.
Yeah, it's that next. It's the Banned Books Week.
This is what happens when you have a 4-day work week. You just get
Labor Day forever.
Yeah.
And the really cool thing about the Banned Books project this year is, thanks to a partnership with Transit, we're going to wrap a bus. There's going to be a Chapel Hill Transit bus that's wrapped with the 7 winners.
Oh, nice.
And it's going to be on the road for a year or two, sort of getting out the word about censorship and the freedom to read and showing off some great local artists.
I like it. So the 21st is the day when the winners will be unveiled and we'll be able to see them all with the cards and everything.
Yes.
Love it. All right. Super so fun. That's coming up. Friendschpl.org is the website for Friends of the Library, correct?
I believe that's right, yes.
So go there and get more information about the Friends of the Library, about the book sale. Of course, visit the Chapel Hill Public Library's website for more info. Susan Brown, other upcoming events that people ought to know about?
Nerd Night is next week.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So Nerd Night,
with our
so
own Max Orr speaking
Max
this
Orr
time,
speaking
right?
about yeah. Napoleonic uniforms. He says he's not going to wear one, but I also said, what if I rent you one? Would you wear it? And he didn't give me a clear answer, so Max, I
Wait,
may be
go,
renting
go
you.
Back, go back, go back. That implies that you know off the top of your head where to just go and rent a Napoleonic uniform.
Librarians know everything.
And have it show up in a week, so...
Yeah, that might happen.
Okay. All right. Done.
Oh, gosh. So many other things are happening. We've got a slew of programs coming up. Banned books. I don't know. I've still got Labor Day brain.
Yeah. But Nerd
My
Night.
My staff's like, you should be talking about all of these things. I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to
But
be
Nerd
talking
Night
about.
Next week, Wednesday.
Nerd Night next Wednesday. Oh,
book
and we
sale.
Have more. Oh, my gosh. We have more of the Great American Read programs
oh,
coming
yeah.
up.
All right.
Tracy won't kill me now. That was the one thing. So that's next week. So we'll be talking about that with Max on his show next week. Mm-hmm. Next week's theme is Who Do You Think You Are? And so these are all authors who write about personal stories. We have Krista Bremer, who's a great nonfiction author. We have Sue Monk Kidd, who's the author of The Secret Life of Bees, who now lives in town. We have two or three other authors. That's going to be a great program. That is
Love
next
it.
Thursday night.
Very cool.
And those have been great, great programs.
And all of that
we
is...
We are collecting those books and putting them in the store so people can find them.
Oh, awesome.
Nice. And all of that is after the book sale, which is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of this weekend at the Chapel Hill Public Library. So we've got Susan Brown, we've got Karen Curtin, we've got to recommend books. And Susan, your idea was books about books, right?
Yes, for, that was my idea.
That was your idea.
Was
this is, everything that happens from here on out is totally on you.
Well, I think the last time we had Karen on, we talked about books about friends, maybe, or yep. books about shopping or something. So why not books about books?
Books about books.
So
All
who's
right.
going first?
I can if no one else wants to.
Oh, I have a book. I already selected my book, so I'm happy to go first.
Okay, go for it.
Does anybody remember Balzac and the Little Chinese Seamstress?
Oh, yes.
You know, I knew that that had a book in it, and I thought, I forgot how it went, and I thought I'm going to have to talk about it. So I actually reread the book, and I didn't.
It's short.
Oh, wow. It's short. It was very easy to reread, and it's a wonderful book, and probably people have read this one, but it takes place during the Cultural Revolution, two boys who fall in love with a tailor, and they're being re-educated, and a book about Balzac that changes their lives. It's really a wonderful
that
story.
That is a great book.
Wonderful. So that was top of my list.
I can't remember the author. Do you remember the author?
It's a name I can't pronounce.
Okay. So what I remember about that book, when that book came out, I believe it was, I can't remember if I was working at a library. I feel like I might have been working at Barnes & Noble then. But, and this happens periodically, ask booksellers and book buyers, a theme of cover art will come up, like a certain thing. And that was the year when almost every, like every other literary fiction novel that came out had shoes on the front cover. And that book had a little pair
little
of
red
shoes, red shoes
yeah,
on the
yeah,
front
yeah.
cover. And I remember that that came out. I was like, oh, another book with shoes on the cover. But then I picked it up, I was like, this is a fabulous book.
Is there really any rhyme or reason to why those trends happen?
You know, I think it's a publishing industry thing. It could be a cost-cutting measure. It could be somebody sees it and likes it, and they don't even realize they're doing it.
Right.
A couple years ago, I remember I saw a library that did a display of all the books with, like, Adirondack chairs on the cover.
Oh,
that was
fun.
A big thing a
oh,
couple
yeah.
years
yes,
ago.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, there aren't even, shoes aren't even a theme in that, really.
Right, yeah.
That's the interesting part
yep.
of it.
It doesn't matter if it's part of the. This is the same thing with like the when summer blockbusters come out and there's like three that are all about volcanoes erupting in Los Angeles or something
right.
like that in the same year. All right, so mine is actually now a Broadway show, so it's going to be more famous for that than I think the book very soon. But it's The Lifespan of a Fact by John DeGatta, I think is how you pronounce his name, and Jim Fingal. So this is. It's a very weirdly designed book. It's an essay. It's an article that was written by this guy, John DeGatta. Jim Fingal was the fact checker for the magazine or the journal that he submitted it to, who was assigned to read the article and fact check it and make sure that all of his facts were correct. And in the process of doing that, Jim Fingal realizes that some of the facts are not correct. So he writes back to the author and says, hey, you got all this stuff wrong. The author writes back to him and says, oh, I know, but artistic license. And then this develops into this long exchange between the two of them about the nature of fact and meaning and what the author's role is and what artistic license entails and how far it should go. And then the two of them just decided to turn that exchange into a book. So The Lifespan of a Fact is the article with all of their notes to each other just back and forth over the course of the book.
It's topical.
It kind of makes my head hurt a little bit. I was like, hang on, wait a minute. What?
Yeah,
I'm
going
to need a flowchart where
it
we are.
It makes sense. It makes sense. But it's really difficult to describe because it doesn't flow like a normal book does. It's very interestingly designed on the page.
It's fiction. It's not like...
No, it's real.
It's real.
Yeah, it was an actual article actually written by this guy. Jim Fingle was the actual fact checker. And this was their exchange. So as real as I know it to be. Unless the two of them are making it all up, which adds a whole other layer on top of it.
How'd you even find that book?
My friend and I were in a bookstore and he found it. He just picked it up and started reading it.
And it's a Broadway show now?
They're turning it into a Broadway show with Daniel Radcliffe and Cherry Jones and Bobby Cannavale.
Wow,
so this
that's
is
a
like
big
a
deal.
Huge thing that's hitting Broadway now, but it starts with this book. So yeah, that's mine.
That's a good one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I've got one that I actually found. I discovered this book at the Friends book sale. And it's a book about a book, and it's a book that I love to give to people. And I don't even know if it's in print anymore, but it's, you could call it a coffee table book, but it's small, and it's called The Art of the Book Plate. So the author is James Keenan, and it's a little book about yay big, which when I do that on the radio, that doesn't make sense. It's like, sorry, I'm showing
that
how
big,
big
huh?
it is.
No,
you know,
man,
it's smaller that's... than a bread box. It's a little small book, not your, like, smaller than your typical hardcover book. And it's all about the history and the development and the artistic approach to book plates. So book plates are those personal, you know, kind of stamps or stickers or pieces of paper that are put in books that say Ex Libris or from the library of so-and-so. And it's a little book about the history of those plus images of famous ones, either from famous artists or from famous authors. Libraries. It's a wonderful book to give to people if they're book lovers, if they love that type of thing. And what I also love about it is the foreword to the book is written by George Plimpton. So he's like one of my favorite authors and essayists. So it's a little delightful, kind of hard to find book, but I found it at the Friends sale. I keep it on my like coffee table, side table, and I love it.
That's
so
awesome.
Keep
you know,
an
I've
eye
seen
out for
those...
it. It's a little treasure.
I've seen those book plates in books, and I've never given them any thought at all. I didn't think about there being a history or a subculture of people appreciating the design and everything. That's cool.
And then when you look at some of the ones, whether they're from famous people or famous writers, so they would have them sort of custom done, so you can find sort of a reflection of the book owner's personality or values or interest in these book plates. So
super
the
cool.
Art of the Book Plate.
All right.
Cool.
So those are our books about books. Karen, over to you one more time. Information about the book sale that people need to know?
I think I've told you everything I can think of to tell you, other than it's a great opportunity to raise money for the Friends and the library. And we are one of the best kept secrets in Chapel Hill. So while you're there buying a raffle ticket, join the Friends. It's a very low cost, high impact way to support the library.
That's right.
3 to 7:30 on Friday for members only, but you can join at the door. And then Saturday from 10 to 4, Sunday at 11 to 3. More than 20,000 books available, and it's all at the library this weekend. Susan, Karen, thank you so much.
Thank you.